healthcare professionals typically are overworked a lot of times. They don't have maybe the energy to go out and invest in a property, nor do they want to take that risk on. So they make great limited partners or passive investors because they get to really leverage a lot of the benefits.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. If you're paying attention, you know that you only make money when you work. It might be great money, but it's dependent on you. The information on this podcast will help you solve that. We interview experts and provide analysis into financial freedom through commercial real estate. Why? To help physicians like you thrive. Let's dive in.
Welcome to Surgeon Syndicate. This is your host, Dr. Michael McManus. We are here today with Andy Crawford. Andy, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, White. Pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
All right. Andy has over 17 years in sales and management expertise, and most of it in the pharmaceutical industry, and then moved into real estate. And we met last fall at the Invest Beyond Multifamily Conference. Sandy, tell us a little bit more about your background. You've had a lot of things going on in life. You've done a lot.
Yeah. My background really is oriented around the pharmaceutical space. Been in pharma for over 21 years, believe it or not. And most of that, as mentioned, 17 or so years in sales and distribution. And that's my niche. That's what I know. Work daily with typically pharmacies, pharmacy owners, large corporate pharmacy chains, as far as negotiating pricing for products, really to bring down their bottom line, to add value, right? And fast forward to why we're talking, right? What I've learned over the last several years has gotten to real estate back about 4 or 5 years ago is, I tell you what, for those that are anywhere near the high earners, they sure do get taxed a lot. So I had to figure out, how do we mitigate and work on minimizing our tax burden, my wife and I. So really, we started out like many in the real estate space, buying a single family portfolio, just one after another, and slowly trying to understand the business. So we started from scratch. When I was a kid, my dad did have some rentals, not many, just a couple, but it always intrigued me, right? Real estate intrigued me. And that's kind of what brought us here today, and meeting you at the Invest Beyond Multifamily was a great experience, as well as I've considered delving into maybe some non-residential commercial space.
So as you got into residential, and it's funny when I talk to doctors, because we're so trained in, I guess, the pharmacy space too, that you can't make mistakes. You spend all these years in training so that once you're unleashed on the public, you don't make mistakes. And so then it gets really hard to do things that you're going to make mistakes. And it's kind of like this big barrier to step over. When you started out, tell me a little about when you started buying your first properties and some of the mistakes and the learning process of jumping in with that.
Oh, that's a great question. And you are right. In the pharmacy profession, obviously medication adherence and ensuring that patients get what they need. And even on the business side of things, ensuring that you're getting the products to the right people at the right destinations is very important. And you are trained that there's very little room for error in the medical professions. And there's many mistakes I've made in the beginning. I guess the biggest was the dream of trying to scale our handful of homes and thinking that we were going to get to hundreds of homes without a real game plan, right? So my wife and I, even to this day, we still manage just a handful of those houses. But I'll tell you a really great story that kind of humbled me and gave me a lot of perspective was the third single family house we bought, which all are located on the east side of Cincinnati, was a complete rehab. This house I bought off Craigslist, believe it or not. I found the listing on Craigslist. It had great bones. I bought it directly from the seller. But let me tell you, it was a lot to go in there and manage my full-time W-2 job, right? And take on a whole rehab. So the learning lesson there, although the property turned out great, it ended up and it cost me a trip to the optometrist because as I was cutting through some of the countertops and taking on a lot of this work myself, I got a piece of plastic in my eye. So learning lesson there is ensure that you're wearing the proper safety equipment. And really just, it humbled me because I thought that taking this all on, the end goal in doing this myself and kind of controlling this myself, this project myself, was going to get me further. And it actually got me further behind. If I would have, in perspective, taken maybe that time and looked at a larger property, right, which we'll get into kind of why I pivoted into the larger commercial properties, I feel like I would have got further a lot faster. So the learning lesson there was, and a lot of the mistakes I made was really thinking small about my investment goals and really trying to control and take things on myself without really thinking through about building the team.
The starting bigger, I kind of go back and forth when I talk to people who are starting out of where to start, because when you buy your first place, and I guess my first rental was a house hack in medical school that I added a room and had two roommates and then didn't have to pay my mortgage. But the first time I had renters that we rented a house, we did a horrible job. They paid like a half a month's rent. We spent the next 3 months getting them evicted. And luckily it was in a state that eviction wasn't a hard thing. So, but the amount you learn, and maybe that's the thing that is so much different with real estate, is you can dive in and you can learn. And especially if you start out in a range that you're like, okay, I'm going to buy this place. You kind of go look at your worst case scenario of how much can I lose? And then put that as like your tuition, to the school of hard knocks. And that's a great thing that, I don't know, because I went from the smaller properties and then we can talk about that and then move to syndications because I had the same thing. I'm like, I'm not going to be able to scale. And so starting with syndications, then I thought everybody was a crook and why do they want my money? And it took a little while of throwing money in there. Yeah. To start to see how that whole process worked, even though I'd read all about it. I'm like, I get it, but it was still emotionally hard to step over. So going back to you, what you're talking about, I'm just picturing this whole story, this whole history. But so when you started buying those first houses, so you were doing the work and then you started building a team. What was your next step after that first, once you left the optometrist office?
Well, I tell you, once I realized, hey, maybe I should be hiring more professionals to take on the professional work. But you're sometimes cheap in the aspect that you want to control overhead, right? So you want to do whatever you can yourselves. And you are right. It's the school of hard knocks. Maybe I wouldn't be where I am today in my investment journey if I didn't understand that, hey, it's the who, right? It's the who you need to hire out, just like who, not how. Like, great book that I've read several times over by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. It really gives you perspective on, okay, what is my next step? I remodeled a house. I got renters in there, leased it up. Well, my next step was I cannot scale buying single family properties. All right. So my wife and I, as we're thinking through our portfolio, we really just went head first into, we're going to go to a commercial property. So next steps for us was a 6-unit property here in the Greater Cincinnati, Dayton area. And that was just an eye opener, right? When we got from the single families just to even a small 6-unit property, the economies of scale I absorbed right away. We have one vacancy, but yet we still have 5 renters paying. Mitigated our risk from not being able to pay maybe the mortgage, right? Just controlling what we all look to do in commercial real estate, which is bolster that net operating income, right? And kind of understanding, that was a great learning lesson for us to understand we can go a lot further, faster, buying these properties, getting so-called more doors under one roof, right? So that was really next steps for us. Shortly thereafter, we were able to acquire a 20-unit property. And just once again, it kind of exponentially showed us that these properties and having scale will pay off for you, right? And somebody said, I forget what podcast it was on, it might have been on Bigger Pockets or Best Ever or something like that. But they said the larger deals, however they are larger, they have more zeros behind them, but they don't necessarily require more work than the single family house, right? It's still one insurance policy. It's still one loan closing a lot of times. So it's still, you're obviously the capital is a big difference there, but just kind of understanding that really gave me a lot of perspective. So it was interesting.
Yeah, you know, once you get past doing the work yourself, it's one maintenance company, it's one management company, it's one construction company, or maybe it's a couple, but it's not a whole lot different running a bigger project than a small one as far as getting the work done.
Right.
That was a big one for me too. And it was interesting. We were talking before we came on that right now I'm in Marquette, Michigan, and we're getting ready to sell our last multifamily property. Put that up. There's an advertisement if anybody's looking for a fourplex on the shores of Lake Superior. It's an awesome place. But that it was interesting because we're in a market up here that we bought it at the end of COVID, and some things happened that basically, because of some things that the state of Michigan did, a lot of the people who worked in the construction industry left. And you couldn't find anybody. It's still the same battle. Like, the fan goes out over the oven and you can't find somebody to replace it. And back when I remodeled my own home several times, and I can do the electrical, but it becomes somebody else's place. And you're like, should I really do that? And you step over that bridge, and then you're like, okay, even maybe it's a liability thing, but then you can't find people to do it in some markets, and that can be tough. But then even when you do that, we went through this trying, we were going to buy more multifamily, but, or even duplexes and single, but the, I guess maybe I feel lucky now. I got priced out while interest rates were low. The numbers didn't work on anything. Right. And so instead of going through the process of building this portfolio, we had to take a step above and go, okay, well, what else can we do? What's the next step? So when we met at Invest Beyond Multifamily, which is basically a conference that's talking about different asset classes, because most people, I think, come into owning real estate and you want to buy things you're familiar with. And that's almost everybody is rented at some point. And then if you've got money to invest, you've probably bought a house. So that whole process makes sense. What led you to kind of start checking out Investing Beyond Multifamily?
You're a great question. I guess parallel to the journey that I explained earlier with just starting with singles and then moving into some small multifamily, I also have kind of mitigated risk in my investment portfolio by limited partner in some self-storage. So I saw the P&Ls, I kind of looked at the returns that came back from that, and they were very attractive. They always have been to me. So coming up on the Invest Beyond conference, I've always been interested to see, how do you guys analyze these properties, right? How different are they than commercial multifamily properties, residential properties? And it was great to see, for me as a residential guy, still through and through, is the kind of blend in this mixed-use space. That really spoke to me. And we did the property tours and getting to see some of the 3-4 commercial spaces on the bottom, maybe 6-8 apartments on the top. That really drove my primary interest, Mike, in going to that. But I got to say, my biggest takeaway, and Ash is a great guy, he really speaks to the level of just really cutting through a lot of the noise, is the cash on cash returns and non-residential commercial are just astronomically somewhat better than the residential space, right? The part to me that I didn't understand is, how are you managing the lease outs of these properties? So that was really informative to me. And I never knew, and you probably can attest to this, and the residential space, we think annual leases and lease renewals. That's just the nature of the market. We don't think about, a lot of times, pre-leasing units. Sometimes we do, but a lot of times it's what we call unit turns, right? You have a tenant that either vacates because the lease is expired and they don't renew, or maybe there's an eviction in play, or maybe it's a rent bump play where they don't accept a new rent increase. And you use that as an opportunity to turn it. Well, what I learned in the commercial non-residential space was, during that time of due diligence, right, that you guys can have properties under contract, you're actually really stress testing that property. You're going out and seeing if you can lease up those units. And to me, that was so vastly different than the residential space that just, I couldn't process it. So that intrigued me the most about the conference and what I really took away.
It's an incredible thing that so much of the work when you get beyond multifamily is before you buy it, that it's almost in that period, you're doing your due diligence, you're testing your lease up. And then depending on what you're doing, sometimes that's all the work. Once you close, it's like a few days of closing, signing documents, signing leases. And if you got a nice multi-year triple net lease, you may hardly touch that for the next 10 years. And it varies depending on, and again, there's so many different ways that often there's better returns working with smaller mom and pop businesses because they don't bring as much clout and they're more risk. So they're higher returns, but they require a little more work. And I know some people, part of what they provide is almost like business coaching for their tenants. They bring in tenants, then help their tenants stay successful.
Sure.
And on the other side, sometimes there's lower returns with corporate triple net multi-year leases, but it's like set it and forget it. You sign that Dollar General 15-year lease, and really now the money just comes in. All the work was ahead of time. At the end, there's more work, and you still have to pay attention to it. Where multifamily, it never felt to me like there was as much creativity in the beginning, as much room to negotiate on your leases. Kind of leases in most states or cities, there's a lot of regulation around what you can and you can't do. And so it's kind of, the work is in a different place. Not that there isn't work, but it's in a different place. Yeah, it's really a fascinating thing of where you do it. So now that you've come down this road and you've looked into this space, and I like this conversation because there's a lot of people out there who have invested in multifamily or have thought about it. And the whole idea, I tell you, I talk to doctors about investing in a retail center or a strip mall, and some of them, their eyes roll back in their head that it just does not compute. So where are you at now, and how's that journey going for you? We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed, and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Ash has now made a course, and this is probably the most valuable set of information, the quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital and let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward.
Sure. Well, yeah, kind of where I'm at today, and just for your listeners, is I progressed quite a bit from focusing just on a personal portfolio. And this kind of goes into where I feel like what I've expanded the most in the last several years, and that's really just taking on partnerships. And the last 3 years, instead of building my own personal portfolio, I partnered up with a local owner operator that I quite honestly invested in a property just as a limited partner to begin. Was recapitalized pretty quickly. And this is, once again, commercial multifamily. So this is residential. And kind of since then, we just took it on a deal-by-deal basis. And my highest and best use, obviously, I have knowledge of asset management and property management, but my highest and best use was my vast network in the pharmaceutical industry and really trying to figure out how can I bring my knowledge and these great opportunities to invest in commercial real estate to pharmacy professionals. And I thought my sales skills over the last 17 years or so, it just was a great parallel for me. So I focused and kind of moved into an investor relations capital raising seat within my capital group that the partner and I kind of operate together. And that's where I'm at today. So we syndicate properties. We're still focusing on residential, commercial, multifamily, but we are as well, I'm sure you'd like to hear this, looking at some of the commercial non-residential opportunities. So self-storage, flex space, things like that. That ground up development of self-storage as well is a big interest of ours too. So right now, primarily pivoted from growing my personal portfolio to being a GP at some of these larger deals and taking on investor relations and capital raising.
So with the capital raising, now as you're talking to pharmacy professionals, which I think is a good corollary to doctors. What kind of responses do you get? Or just tell me a little bit about how do you start talking to people about it? Where do you approach them? It's always an interesting thing that we get so many salespeople that you kind of sometimes feel like you're pushing people back. But at the same time, I didn't know about a lot of these opportunities because nobody ever told me about it until years later when I kind of dug in myself.
Great question. Historically, the pharmacists and physicians, I feel like, fall in a very similar category of hirers that are traditionally only educated about the path of the traditional investing within a 401k or maybe a IRA. And you're right. A lot of them don't know about, hey, I don't have to be an actual landlord or actually manage a property, whether it be residential or non-residential, and still enjoy a lot of the benefits that go along with it. So the conversation that I bring to a lot of the pharmacy professionals, whether they're pharmacists, pharmacy owners, business owners, a vast majority of business owners, and even some of the C-suite executives that run some of the larger pharmaceutical companies, they need a huge benefit that real estate gives them outside of generational wealth building. And that is tax incentives, right? The leverage of depreciation that they get based on a capital contribution and syndication. The average pharmacist, I think, in 2023 was earned right around about $150,000 a year. That puts them in a tax bracket close to roughly around 30, right? So they have to figure out, how am I going to get closer to my retirement goals? And a lot of times, and you know this based on recent inflation of this past 3 years, is a 401k isn't going to cut it. A net gain of 1.5% on your Fidelity 401k is not going to get you further to your retirement goals. So the conversation a lot of times starts with, well, how can I help get you closer to a retirement and as well provide some passive income outside of your W-2 job? Because healthcare professionals, as you know, typically are overworked. A lot of times they don't have maybe the energy to go out and invest in a property, nor do they want to take that risk on. So they make great limited partners or passive investors because they get to really leverage a lot of the benefits.
What are some of the biggest concerns you hear from people who are new to the space or first considering it?
Trusting the sponsor. Can they trust you to do what's right with their investment? And I think with any investment, that's paramount, right? Is the sponsor going to execute the business plan if I give them? And what happens after I wire this $100,000 or $250,000? What's next? Did that money just disappear? And pharmacy professionals and parallel with medical professionals, they're very analytical people, right? And that's a strong skill. And that skill actually is a benefit for them because when you're talking through a investment deck or a syndication opportunity, they're absolutely top question askers, right? Because they know analytically, can I trust this person? What is your track record? What is my return? And how long is it going to take maybe to get my initial investment back? So personally, I really feel strongly about investing alongside a lot of medical professionals, pharmacy and physicians, because they ask the right questions. So to go back to your original question, trust in the sponsor, right? Will they do what they say they're going to do with my capital? And will they do it responsibly?
So that trust, if somebody comes in and they're like, I don't know this person, I'm having trust issues. What's your process of leading them through the trust? Is it from an education standpoint, from a knowing the people better? How do you go down that road?
Yeah, I really think, Mike, it would depend on their level of knowledge of the industry, right? So if they delved into real estate investing and they've read about it and they understand the common concepts, I think that person might have a little bit more of a head start than somebody that just likes the idea of investing as far as mitigating risk in their portfolio. So really, I'd say for the investor that has no experience, it's basically just explaining the basic terminology of a deal, right? What does it look like? Why does this matter to you, right? What you can expect, what the timelines are. From somebody that might have a little bit more knowledge about investing, they would probably start off a further track. This is why we feel strongly about this market. Here's why we're investing in this area and this asset class. And this is what we expect based on our pro forma to really translate in returns for you as the investor. But how we do it at Prosper Capital, one of the things that we really tout and why we're a good partner and good sponsor is we're a completely vertically integrated company. It's a huge tagline a lot of people use these days, but it's true. This company was built property management oriented. So we manage every property within our portfolio. We have our own maintenance crews. So when we're talking about building trust and explaining things to investors, we really try to make sure that they understand the experience that our team has and why that matters in the performance of the asset.
The syndication process, I guess that's one that I've seen people get hung up on because it seems overwhelming to people at first, even very intelligent, well-educated people. And that's probably because if you're in pharmacy or you're a doctor, you didn't spend a lot of time in finance class. My daughter's in business school, and I had this discussion with her about some of the structure. And she's a freshman. She's had one finance class, and she's like, yeah, Dad, I get it. And then you talk to a doctor who's been through 500,000 years of school and has a super high IQ, and the whole thing seems very convoluted. It's an interesting thing. Do you run into that, or just the deal structure and how it all works and that making sense? I'm just digging for somebody working on that, how they help people through that learning phase.
Yeah, I'd say there are those that they're academics, high IQ, practicing pharmacists or medical professionals. And you're right, they haven't had that exposure to an investment, that vehicle like maybe a syndication. And you're right, there are a lot of questions that come along. Back to why I feel like a lot of medical professionals are very analytical. They ask the questions sometimes to me, scheduling a call with them and walking them maybe through the investment deck is the best method to trying to mitigate unknowns for them, right? How long is it going to take to get my original investment back? What are the returns? What are the risks, right? What does that investment area look like that the asset is in? So I guess the answer to your question is somewhat subjective, but if a potential investor doesn't quite grasp the concepts, me, it's just jumping on a call with them and walking them through an investment. Maybe even a lot of times what we've done actually historically is provide the previous investments, right? Not maybe the one that we have open, but maybe two or three that we've done in recent past and kind of show them, this is what we bought it at. At this point in time, this is what the market valuation is. And this is what our business plan was and how we implement.
That's great. What kind of returning rates do you have once somebody invests with you once that they keep coming back because now they know you?
Fairly high. I think that's where we obviously back to trust, right? If somebody feels comfortable and they are wiring you $100,000, $200,000, and you do what you say you're going to do, and they trust you and you bring another investment to them, a lot of times we have that investor be a repeat investor. So we've had several. And I think that's really what I see a lot of times is maybe that $50,000 investor is obviously just testing your trustworthiness and can Prosper Capital execute on the business plan that they presented to me. And we had a property that we had on the east side of Cincinnati. We recapitalized the investors within 15 months. And that was a great opportunity where those investors got their original capital contribution back. And that spoke volumes. Those investors have invested in a couple other deals with us. And that's been a real nice thing for us as we continue to try to grow.
That's awesome. So you were talking about how much people invest, and I'd like to come back to that. But for today, we're going to wrap up this part of our show. So Andy, thank you for being here. Thank you for all of our listeners for being here. And I hope this show added some value to you. Please come back for the second half. Please stop and leave us a review. Those reviews help whatever platform you're listening on direct more people. So if we're helping you, help us help more people. So thank you for joining us today on Surgeon Syndicate, and we'll see you soon. We'll get back to our show in a minute, but first I want to offer you an opportunity to accelerate your learning. My life changed, and my ability to start becoming work optional changed when I gained the people and the knowledge to start investing in commercial real estate. One of the key people there was Ash Patel, and joining his Invest Beyond Multifamily Mastermind. With that, I had the people and the knowledge. Well, that mastermind is no longer open, but for a fraction of the price, Asha's now made a course. And this is probably the most valuable set of information and quickest way to move along your learning curve. So if you are interested in actively investing in commercial real estate and retail and industrial and office, I would recommend this course to you. We're going to include a pre-sale link both in the show notes. It'll also be on the surgeonsyndicate.com website. And in your checkout, we'll save you another 1%. I know it's not a lot, but every little bit helps if you use the discount code MIKE1487. So take that step now and move your future forward. If you're not interested in investing actively, give us a call here at Fortress Capital and let's talk about what your goals are as a passive investor. But it's time to stop listening, start acting, and let's move your future forward. This has been an episode of Surgeon Syndicate. If you found value in this episode, know other surgeons are hungry to become job optional. You can help them by sharing this content today. I also want to serve you better, so I want to offer you two things. Number one, I'll be able to give you the content in an even better way if you can take a moment and leave an honest review of the show explaining what you like and what you don't. Number two, if you are a surgeon and serious about this, you don't want to do this on your own because you don't want to make mistakes with your money. I'd be happy to help. Schedule a call. We can make a plan. Looking forward to having you with me on the next episode.